Good morning to each one of you. As we come to listen to the Word of God, let us remind ourselves for a moment just who Almighty God is. He tells us that His Word is living, active, and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows you and me much better than we might think. And God knows not just you and me better than we think. God is the one who is our help and our hope at the same time. We can do nothing better than to turn our attention to the Word of God, this Word that is living, active, and powerful. So let's do that this morning by turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, where we will read the famous passage known as the Beatitudes, the first part of the great Sermon on the Mount that our Savior preached. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through to 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with your word open before us, we ask that you will now speak to us, each one of us, in a way we can understand, and in a way, dear Lord, that we would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is a Christian? Have you ever thought about that question? It's actually a good question to ask. Some people, when they think of the word Christian, what comes to their mind would be antisocial, judgmental, hypocritical, outdated. Others might say Christians are nice people. But Christians need to be non-offensive, more tolerant, more relevant. What do you say is a Christian? More importantly, what does the Bible say? Now, the Beatitudes are given to us so that we will be absolutely clear in our minds as to what a Christian is. It shows us what a Christian looks like, what the Christian character is like. The Beatitudes per se doesn't explicitly tell us how a person is to be saved, but it tells us who are the saved. None of the Beatitudes or these Christian character traits are normal to unbelievers. They are actually quite unnatural because they are given by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit to Christians, to God's people. What does the word beatitude mean? It comes from the Latin word which means blessing. Blessed is the person who is in a right relationship with God. Not blessed in and of itself is the person whose poor life circumstances have been taken away, but deeply contented and blessed are they who are right with God. Now this morning, we're going to turn our attention to the third beatitude, which we find in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. And it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek. Now, this beatitude, like the other ones, marks out the Christian as being very different to the non-Christian and very different in the way that they think. For many people, what is important is that they think in terms of mental well-being, where you have to feel good about yourself, are productive, are self-assured, you feel that you belong to the community and that you contribute to society. Not that these things are bad in and of themselves. That you also realize your full potential, feel optimistic, not always blame yourself or be hard on yourself. Have a good self-esteem. Cope well and generally feel satisfied with life. The more you emphasize yourself, the more you show your power and ability better. But meekness is considered to be weakness. Rather, if we think of meekness, think about its opposite, a spirit of pride. It was because of pride that the devil, we are told in the Bible, was thrown out of heaven. Proud people put themselves at the center of life and all things instead of God. But God opposes the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Notice the relationship between this beatitude and the others. Meekness flows from and is as a result of the others. The one leads to the next. So far, we've considered two beatitudes. Firstly, we were asked to think of blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize that they are nothing and have nothing when they stand in the presence of God. As compared to God, they are really spiritual beggars. The poor in spirit sees that they are really bankrupt and they need God. And that leads to the second beatitude. Blessed are those who mourn. These are those who realize their own true nature and sinfulness. We are guilty and helpless because of our sin before God. When we see our sin and our sinful actions and thoughts, then we discover just how corrupt our hearts are. And Christians weep because of their own sin. In fact, they weep because of the nature of sin itself, that it ever had to come into this world. What sin does to people, but more importantly, what sin does to Almighty God. How it offends Him, dishonors Him, and He's so different to what He is like. The poor in spirit and those who mourn realize that they can do nothing apart from the grace of Almighty God. Only then can we even begin to think of being meek children. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, God knows you better than you know yourself. High school kids and young people, God knows how you feel, what you think, and what is going on in your life. He understands that. Why don't you get to know Him better, seeing that He understands you so well? Don't be afraid of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you should not be afraid of to let into your life. He will show you wonderful things that you do not know. And He will bless you more than you can imagine. What is meekness? Well, let us consider what it is not. Meekness is not weakness. To be slack or spiritless, a compromiser, a people pleaser. Meekness is not weakness. Neither is meekness being a coward or someone who lacks conviction. Biblical meekness has nothing to do with weakness. And people are certainly not born with meekness. Meekness is not natural to people. It is produced by the Holy Spirit in the lives of true Christians. What then is meekness? The Greek word also refers to the word gentleness and humility. And therefore, exercising self-control, without which these ideas are not possible. It is a self-control where we accept God's ways and dealings with us in our lives as being good and relying on Him to defend us against all forms of injustice. It does not promote self, and it does not insist on self-insertion or assertion. Meekness is power under control. The word is taken from the idea of taming a horse. What do horse trainers do? They break in horses. They do not break the power of a horse, but they put the power of the horse under control. Children, think of somebody riding on horseback. And the horse follows the instructions of the rider. Does it mean that the rider is more powerful than the horse? Not at all. Rather, it is the horse's power that is under the control of the rider. So if the rider directs the horse to turn left, the horse turns left and right, right. If the rider directs the horse to walk, to trot, or to canter, the horse does that rather than to run loose wildly, to jump and to kick. And if the rider instructs the horse to stop, the horse stops. Meekness is similarly an attitude of the heart, which brings the power of the heart under control, only to be used for the glory of God. The best example of this is found in Jesus Himself. It is seen right through His whole life, in His reaction towards other people, and especially His reaction towards His Heavenly Father. He suffered immense persecution, scorn, sarcasm, under the hands of people. But his attitude towards his enemies and even his heavenly Father was that he submitted to his heavenly Father in a spirit of meekness. He said himself in John chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, I can do nothing of my own authority, but I speak as the Father has taught me. And he who sent me is with me. I am not alone, for I always do the things that please him. Even when Jesus was on the cross, when he was tortured to death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Jesus was meek and humble. And yet, he is the creator of the ends of the earth. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Think of all the miracles that Jesus did, displaying his power to us, how he healed the sick, raised the dead, calmed the storm, fed the multitudes, how the devil tempted him in the desert and did not prevail against him. He spoke with such authority that the people were amazed at his power and his authority. And yet, he was meek. Meekness is not weakness. It is fully compatible with great power and strength and authority. There are many examples in the Bible of great people. Think of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Jeremiah, the Apostle Paul. And many more. Let's take Abraham, for example. A great man, but he was meek. God gave him promises. And when God expected him to wait for a very long time for the fulfillment of those promises, he did not become impatient with God. But he still believed in the promises of God. Think of how he treated his relative Lot. Then when the land could not sustain both of them, he said to Lot, you choose which way you want to go and which land you want to occupy. If you go left, I'll go right. Think of the time when God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and he gave him the promised son, Isaac. And then God asked him to offer up Isaac. We see Abraham did not rebel against the Lord. He did not protest. But he submitted to the Lord in meekness, trusting in the Lord to even raise his son from the dead, though he may be sacrificed to death. Blessed are the meek. Meekness is essentially a true view of ourself. And that expresses itself in the way that we deal with other people, and the way that we deal with God. The meek do not glory in themselves or emphasize themselves, but rather glory in God. Now, the world may say to us we need to assert ourselves and express our personality. But for the meek, it is not so much about themselves. They do not insist on their own position, privileges, possessions, or status in life. The meek are not even sensitive about themselves. They are always watching for the interests of others. They are looking and trusting in God, always trusting in Him, constantly looking to the Lord. Whether the Lord puts them in a palace or in a prison, they accept and delight in the will and the purposes of God. Meekness is a dying to self and self-interest, and so that one's reason and one's emotions are being dictated not by those things, but they are dictated by the honor and the will of God. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, in one of his sermons, mentions an old pastor. He walked down the street and he overheard a man who was cursing and swearing. He went to the man, starting to speak to the man. The man turned around and knocked him in the face, punched him in the face, and knocked out two of his teeth. The old man wiped off the blood from his face. And he said to him, "You can knock out all my teeth if you would just allow me to speak to you so that your soul might be saved." The man was won over to Christ. What an example of meekness, yet great courage and strength. Now, where does this courage come from? Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11 tells us, "Have this mind amongst yourselves that was also found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the very form of God. But he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being in the likeness of men. He was found in human form. And he humbled himself by becoming a servant, even to the point of death, death on the cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every other name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Some commentators say that Psalm 37 is a good Old Testament explanation of "blessed are the meek," because those who delight themselves in the Lord will give them the desires of their heart. He will exalt them, as we see our Lord Jesus was exalted. But what rewards are there for meekness? Let us look again at Matthew 5 and verse 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." It's interesting that God does not say, "The earth goes to the rich and the famous, to the great intellectuals and the philosophers, or to the great athletes, or the great presidents and prime ministers and rulers of the world." No. He says, "The earth goes to the meek." One might be tempted to think, well, what is it worth for me to become meek if I have to die to self and self-interest in the process? What is there for me to gain? Well, the meek shall inherit the earth. And don't forget the first two Beatitudes. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And they are the ones who will be comforted by God. Blessed are the meek. A man who is meek and a woman who is meek will always be satisfied, having nothing yet possessing everything. By following Jesus Christ, we receive the blessings of Jesus Christ in this life, but also in the life to come. Listen to the words of Jesus himself. "Truly I say to you, there is not one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's who will not receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Many who are first will be last, and last will be first." There's an inheritance for the meek in this life and in the life to come. Yes, there's a cost. There's a cost to follow the Lord and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we may lose relationships. We may lose privileges in society. But the gain is so much more. Our Lord Jesus says we will gain 100-fold being added to the family of God. We receive brothers and sisters. The blessing of knowing God. And in the world to come, eternal life. Including the new earth with an everlasting inheritance. Blessed is the person who is in a right relationship with God. Not blessed in and of itself as the person whose sad life circumstances are taken away. But deeply contented and blessed are they, those who are right with God. In closing, just a few points of application. The first is, do you want to know whether you are meek? Maybe some questions will help. How do you react when someone lets you down or makes a mistake or someone says something rude to you? How do you react to that? And how do you react when you even suffer the consequences because of it? Some Christians are quite willing. In fact, many people may even be willing to confess that they are sinners. But when somebody else calls them a sinner or criticizes them, then they are greatly offended. On the surface, many people value the idea of meekness and humility until they get offended. Then they retaliate, even throw a tantrum. And assert themselves, justifying themselves. Consider their retaliation appropriate because they feel that they have been bullied. Now, I'm not suggesting that it is right to offend someone. Certainly not offending in an unbiblical, ungracious, and an ungodly way. If you have been offended and hurt, or somebody close to you at the hands of cruel people and evil deeds, then I'm really sorry to hear about that. And I know God has great compassion for people who suffer like that. And we will do absolutely everything in this church by God's grace to help you to seek the Lord in your struggle. And to find healing in your suffering. But coming back to these vital questions related to meekness, thinking of our responses to just and even unjust offense. The test of a servant, a true servant, is when a servant is treated as a servant. The meek does not retaliate or threaten to defend themselves, but looks to the Lord to defend them. And that is why meekness is a very strong inner ability given by the Holy Spirit when people choose to act in ways to bring power under control. The meek person is able to conquer his or her fury. That's what the scriptures are teaching us. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Controlling one's temper is better than capturing a city. If we are not meek, in a very real sense, we are not different to the world and we are not different to people who are unbelievers. And it says a lot about our profession of faith. If we claim to be Christian, we also claim to be meek. Meekness, as we saw, is something quite impossible for natural unbelieving man to do. We cannot make ourselves meek. Unless you and I are born again, our proud spirits will never become meek. Nothing less than the Holy Spirit can make us humble. It is a fruit that is produced by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is absolutely clear about that in the life of believers. That's what Galatians 5 is teaching us. Paul says, "But I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lusts of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit are these: joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness," which is also translated meekness, "self-control." And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified themselves with their passions and their desires. The world says that the meek will be stepped on, pushed out of the way, and get nowhere in life. God says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Who do you believe? If meekness is power under control, only to be used for the glory of God, if meekness is a dying of self and self-interest, so that our reason and our emotions are dictated by the glory of God, the question is, are we meek? Perhaps your life is not under control, but out of control. You're in turmoil, not in peace. Brokenness and anger are your companions during the day, and guilt and shame by night. You are not in a good mental space, and your heart is bleeding because you feel weary and burdened and ready to give up. If that describes you this morning, then you need help. The only one who can help you is the one that speaks in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. He is known as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God's salvation. And he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." For Jesus to be able to say these words shows that he needs to have absolute power, complete power over sin, and control to subdue evil. Otherwise, he cannot speak these words. But he has absolute power and control, which he demonstrated to us when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And he is the one who is inviting everyone and anyone who is weary and burdened to come to him and find rest for their souls. He has to be incredibly gracious and compassionate to be able to do that, and he is. Picture a strong young father who is holding his newborn baby in his arms, helpless and defenseless, but holding that baby with utmost care, love, and compassion. If you are weary and heavy laden, and you come to Jesus, you are coming to him with infinite strength, who is able to embrace you. You are coming to the Savior for salvation, the one who can give rest for your soul. To tell you a story of the impact of somebody who has come to Jesus. Let me tell you of a man by the name of Bob, who visited India on a trip to go and support the India Gospel League. He says on one day they went out to feed 50 lepers. One of them was a man by the name of Daniel. He was a pastor, but he was also a leper. He had an unforgettable face. Half of his nose had been eroded away due to the leprosy. We spoke to them, Bob says, and I said, "We understand that in India it is believed that lepers are under the curse of a god. So how does it feel to have Jesus bearing your curse?" After a long pause, Daniel answered, "Jesus is all I have." I nodded my head, he said, knowing it was literally true. Daniel owned nothing, but his eyes betrayed a deep contentment and joy rarely seen. To be honest, I was stunned and I could not think of what to say next. But then Daniel spoke again. "Jesus is all I need." Five more words, but they spoke volumes. He looked at me patiently for me to respond, but I was speechless. I started to pray silently, asking for God's help. Just then, Daniel began to speak for a third time. My eyes were riveted on his face as he spoke words that penetrated deep into my soul like arrows. "Jesus is all I want. Jesus is all I have. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I want." How do we explain that? The more we look to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and for help, the more we learn the compassion and the help of Almighty God, the more we see our Savior as He is, and as He says, "I am gentle and lowly in heart," the more we find our lives being transformed to start to change to look like His life. This is how meekness is produced by God. Think of what a difference it would make in our church if our lives all displayed being poor in spirit, mourning over sin, and showing meekness. May God help us to be like this. Let us rise and sing as we prepare our hearts to receive communion. See Him in Jerusalem.